Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the Action Network Podcast.
On target, and it is good. Wow.
That's when you have fun. When you're kicking somebody's ass and they're sucking for win.
That was good.
Ready? Go.
Inbounder on the baseline.
And a steal. Last chance to get.
Way outside.
Here it is. Roll.
Welcome to the Action Network Podcast presented by BetMGM. This is your Final Four Player Props episode, and I'm joined today by Sean Kerner and Nick Giffen, the engine of the Action Network's predictive analytics team. I'm Mike Calabrese. We're here to break down who we like in the prop market for both of the national semifinals. We have UConn against Alabama and NC State, the Cinderella, taking on Purdue. So we'll start there, Dr. Nick. This is your NC State team. Do you have a play in that semifinal?
Yeah, I do. And this is going to support my NC State Wolfpack. I went to grad school there. So I am going to go with NC State's DJ Horn to go over 15.5 points. You can get that at minus 120. And look, obviously this matchup against Purdue, we know Zach Edey, he dominates the post. So often when you're facing Purdue, the guy who scores the most points against Purdue is the player with the highest percentage of shots among the non-bigs. You know, that will be matched up against Zach Edey quite often. And for NC State, that's DJ Horn. He leads that category for NC State, shooting on just over 28% of the possessions he plays. And that's important because Purdue, they don't foul. They foul at the 7th lowest rate in the nation, nor do they force turnovers. They force turnovers at the 20th lowest rate nationally, meaning a lot more of NC State's possessions than in other games will end in shots, which benefits a high shot rate guy like DJ Horn. Now, NC State also has Jaden Taylor and Casey Morsell, but both of those are around 20% shot rate guys, and they also like to drive to the rim a lot more, which means you're going to be contending with Zach Edey a lot more. But Horn doesn't rely on getting to the rim or to the line for his points. He has the lowest free throw rate among NC State's main rotation players. And he also, like I said, doesn't get to the rim much. He has the lowest rim rate among all of NC State's main rotation players. So he'll be, you know, facing Zach Edey a whole lot less. And that means, you know, if there's no fouling and not getting to the rim, that's perfect for DJ Horn. Also, if we look at the other DJ Burns Jr., right, he's going to be the guy who he always lines up inside, right? Whereas Diarra, the other big, often is out on the wing looking to take some threes. So DJ Burns Jr. is going to be drawing a lot of Zach Edey, and DJ Burns is great at passing the ball. He gets a lot of assists. So I expect DJ Burns to either hand it off inside to the other big Diarra, who may be coming in from the wing, and he has solid matchups against both Trey Kaufman Wren and Mason Gillis, or I expect DJ Burns Jr. to kick it out to the other DJ, DJ Horn, aplenty. And if Burns avoids foul trouble, then he'll rack up a cornucopia of assists. Wow. So, yeah, we had to get, Horn aplenty in there because I think Horn is going to get plenty of points in this one. The other thing about this magical run that NC State has had is they've done it despite Horn actually shooting nearly 10% below his season-long three-point made percentage rate. He makes it around 41% on the season, and he's only shot around 32% in this run since he kind of came back from a missed game and then a low minutes game against Syracuse. So that really from that Duke game on in the ACC tournament, he's only been shooting 32% from downtown compared to 41% on the season. So if that progresses, that will also help his over here. I expect NC State to live or die by Horn. So this is a spot where I think you can single game parlay, NC State to cover with Horn over on points. Or if Horn has a bad day, you can parlay the opposite and NC State not to cover and Horn not to reach his points prop. And if you play both of those, all that has to happen is one of those to hit for you to be profitable given the SGP odds we'd be getting. Plus, in the over situation, I think you can also parlay DJ Burns Jr.'s over on assists. So there's a lot of ways you can go with this, but just taking the over on 15.5 points, I like. We're projecting 16.5 points, which is a little thin, but I'm going to roll with it simply because I love the way this matches up stylistically versus Purdue as well. So I'm going to go DJ Horn over 15.5 points for NC State.
Hope springing eternal for Nick with the underdog. Hopefully you get to cash there. I'll kick it to Sean. Are you going over or under on your prop in this game? Bonus points if you can match the wordplay of Horn of Plenty, Cornucopia, anything you want to bring to the table.
I don't know if I can compete with that, but obviously I'm going with unders, or I'm going with an under here because I love unders. I'm going with Trey Coffin Wren of Purdue. Under 6.5 points, you can get it at minus 120. And I've been loving fading these single-digit point props the past couple weeks. Now I had Jack Clark under 7.5 points. He finished with 7. Josiah Jordan-James, I had under 8.5 points. He finished with 8. So these can be a bit sweaty. They're not for the faint of heart. I would not be shocked if he finishes close to this, but it just goes to show getting that, extra half point here can be really valuable. But Coffin Wren, he's only cleared this in 3 of the last 10 games. And the 3 times he did clear it were either blowout games or games that went to overtime. So typically he's going to play around 15 minutes if it's a normal closer game that, ends in regulation. So he kind of needs specific outs to clear this number. So assuming we can avoid those, that's going to help. But he, he rarely makes, three-pointers. He's near a 50% free throw shooter. So he probably needs to make 3 field goals to clear this, meaning he probably has to take 5 or 6 shot attempts in 15 minutes of play in what's a massive game. So I just think the chances of that happening here are a bit lower. So I'm projecting him closer to 5.5 points. And again, just that extra point is massive in a small market like this. So I'm showing with about a 63% chance he stays under 6.5. But again, don't be surprised if he finishes with like 5 or 6 and it gets a bit sweaty. But the math is mathing here. And I think he'll stay under this.
You guys are the prop experts. So I want you to grade me out on my court vision with my prop bet here in Purdue NC State. I'm going with Braden Smith, 8 or more assists at plus 128 in the market. And here's like some of the top, items for me in terms of being on the over on this. He finished second nationally in assists per game this season. He crossed 8 or more assists in 18 of his 35 starts. So I think right from the get-go, the juice here is a little bit too good to pass up. And then when you look at the NC State side of things, they allow assists on 50% of made baskets against them, which ranks 158th nationally. So you can move the ball. You can get easy looks, particularly when you're targeting Edie. Edie's someone who finishes in close to the hoop. Smith actually has 4 assists directly to Edie in each of his last 2 games against the Zags and against Tennessee. And if you remove Purdue's blowout over Utah State and Smith's exit due to injury against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, he's averaged 37 minutes per game dating back to late January. So, the best ability is availability, in my opinion, when you're going for a high-end prop. Obviously, to get 8 or more, that'd be a breakout game for him. But he's certainly demonstrated throughout the second half of this season that he is capable. I'll kick it to you first, Sean. Do you think this is a little too much to ask against an NC State defense that actually hasn't been burned by elite point guards? Even Ziegler from Tennessee earlier in the season just finished with 8. That was one of the high watermarks of a point guard dishing out assists against them. Do you think this is properly priced, or am I getting something that's a bit of a value?
No, I think you're certainly getting some value here, especially with plus money. We're projecting him closer to 8 assists. If you mentioned his minutes have been reduced when they're blowing a team out or he left due to injury. There's a chance he plays the entire game here. So there is a buffer here. We're projecting him for 36.5 minutes. So there's a chance he can go for more. So I think there's a potential out there. I'm hoping you get this. I'm just hoping these assists don't go to Coffin Wren. And like you said, they just all go to Zach Edey.
What do you think, Dr. Nick? Plus 128, is that something you'd be interested in sprinkling on?
Yeah, definitely. I like Sean said, you know, 36 and a half minutes is kind of our, you know, projection for him, but, you know, definitely he could play 38, 39, 40 yeah. even. So there's definitely upside for more. And even just using our 36 and a half minute projection, we're getting this almost at exactly as a coin flip in terms of the percentage that he clears this. So if you're getting plus 128, that's a pretty significant value. And here's the other thing, you know, NC State, they are kind of just like your average team in terms of things we look at when grading out assists. They allow right around average in terms of assist rate allowed on made field goals. They're right around average in turnovers forced. Right? If you're forcing turnovers, a whole bunch of them, then there's fewer chances for you to get an assist because your possession's ending in a turnover. And they're right around average in foul rate. So they're not sending guys to the line and, you know, preventing potential assists that way. So this is a spot where Braden Smith should just be able to kind of match his consistent assist rate. And from there, it's just a minutes game. If he plays 36 and a half minutes or more, we'd expect at least a 50% chance of this hitting.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The Action Network podcast is presented by North Carolina's newest sports book, BetMGM. Use the bonus code ACTION when signing up to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Four new users in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. The second game in the Final Four, UConn, the defending national champs, up against Alabama. They are an 11.5 point favorite. Other than them missing their flight and having, you know, some issues getting over to Phoenix, it seems like it's been pretty smooth sailing for them throughout this NCAA tournament. Just don't ask their coach, Hurley, because he thinks that the committee was out to get him, that everybody wants to see them lose. They've played like their hair's been on fire the entire time, blowing teams out, going on 30-0 runs. Just an incredible performance for a team that looks hungry to repeat, not one that's coasting, you know, resting on their laurels. In this game, I don't have a player prop, although I think a prop is of interest, and it's Alabama to lead at halftime and UConn to win the game at 6-1. One of the reasons why I like this one a lot, Alabama's second in the country with over 42 points per game in the first half. UConn leads the country in second half margin at plus 8.4 points per game in the second 20 minutes. So I could see a similar game script that they get 6 or 7 threes go down for the Crimson Tide in the first half, build up a 5 or 6 point lead, and then Alabama just tighten the vice grip in the second half, lean on their elite defense, particularly inside the arc. And the way that they run sets, they're made for, you know, half court basketball, critical possessions, the stress and pressure of those moments late in game. So I think there's a better chance of them putting Alabama away late than necessarily them coming out and blowing them out right out of the gate, because this really is the 3-point variance game of the entire tournament. Alabama is going to shoot 30 plus in this one. So I'll ask you this first, Nick. I'm not sure if you have a player prop on this game, but do you target like the 3-point ladders in this one? Because you know that Sears and a lot of their perimeter weapons are just going to put up a ton. So why not potentially look for a 3 or 4 in the market as opposed to what their set number is?
Yeah, it is interesting because this isn't necessarily the best matchup to target these 3-point ladders. I mean, if you look at UConn, they're below average in terms of percent of points allowed via the 3-pointer, right? They allow the 48th lowest 3-point attempt to field goal attempt ratio in the nation, and they're the 28th best team in the nation in terms of just 3-point percentage made against. So they're allowing fewer threes, and when they are facing threes, they're forcing teams to miss those threes at a higher rate. So there's certainly some variance here. But, you know, I think, like you said, the way to play that might be that first half Alabama, second half Connecticut, because UConn, you mentioned their highest second half margin in the nation. Well, that's even coming with a lot of times where they're subbing out guys early. Stetson, you know, subbing out starters early. Northwestern subbing out starters a little bit early. So this could even be bigger second half margins for UConn, where they really just, they're so complete, so an all-around team that eventually they just clamp down and they impose their will on their opponents. So I'm staying away maybe from the three-point ladders. And the other question here, which is why I don't have a player prop yet for this, is Latrell Wrightsell. He's been dealing with a head injury. Does he come back? Does he play? If he does, that'll impact some minutes here. It could impact minutes for Grant Nelson or Nick Pringle, a couple of those guys where I might be looking at their unders if Wrightsell is definitely a go. But right now he seems probable to play, but still probably waiting a little bit on that confirmation.
Sean, are you keeping your money on the sidelines, or is there someone you're pulling the trigger on in the prop market right now?
Yeah, I'm just keeping my money on the sidelines for now, but I'm going to be interested in some unders. Like, you know, Nick mentioned if Wrightsell's back, which it seems like he is more probable, I'll probably be looking at like some Grant Nelson props. There's a chance he gets in early foul trouble here, so I'll probably be looking to fade him. But yeah, just want to get more confirmation about Wrightsell and dive into this matchup a bit more. So I don't have anything on this matchup quite yet.
That's it for us. Thanks for listening to the Action Network podcast presented by BetMGM. We'll be back tomorrow for our usual UFC preview episode. For Sean Kerner and Nick Giffen, I'm Mike Calabrese. Thanks for listening.
Action Network reminds you, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you care about has a gambling problem, help is available 24/7 at 1-800-GAMBLER.